BC football recruiting has been on a bit of a hiatus recently. You haven't seen a ton of commitments. Things have been pretty slow. When will things pick up? I'm going to get into that and a whole lot more on today's show.
You are Locked On Boston College, your daily podcast on the Boston College Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On BC. I'm your host, AJ Black. Today, we're going to chat about recruiting and specifically a question that has popped up a bunch with Boston College fans and folks that are following this team and wondering a big question, which is, where are all the commitments? We are now into the month of May, and BC has not landed a new class of 2024 commitment in over a year. Christian Zamore is the only commitment BC has right now. And he committed over a year ago. I think it was last January of 2022. So this begs the question, what's going on? What's happening with BC football? Now, the easy answer, there's a few things that are going on. The easy answer, the record. When you have a team that goes 3-9 one year, It's harder to sell your vision to recruits because they're going to see that and they're going to go, oh, you know, this is a program I got to be a little bit more worried about. They're a little bit more concerned. You know, the pitches become a little bit more hollow because you need to prove it on the field. So I think that's one major factor. And I think that's a big factor going on right now is that commits have eyes. I mean, recruits have eyes. They worry there. The other big change are the new coordinators. When you replace your offensive and defensive coordinator, those are the guys that run the units that these kids are going to play for. Many of these kids had relationships with Tim Lokabu, and honestly, some of the quarterbacks, especially, they knew John McNulty. So it's an adjustment there, and I think that that's a change in itself. And of course, you know, I think some folks are going to wonder, is NIL an issue here? And I go back to this. The guys that BC are landing now or trying to land are the same caliber that they have for the last 30 years. The guys that are going to go in and get NIL money as true freshmen were never guys BC would ever get anyways. Those, you know, these are the kids that in years past were getting paid just not on the up and up, right? So I don't think NIL is the big issue here. I think it's mostly the record. It really does, you know, drag down the momentum. And I think you have to, you're fighting against a tide right now. That's a challenge. And there's other factors, you know, people read and see things. You see things like Jeff Halfley's on the hot seat, things like that. That's tough. That's tough for them to sell. That being said, I'm not writing this. I did not go into this episode to say everything is miserable for BC recruiting because I don't think it is. I think things are going to change in a little bit. The purpose of this segment, the discussion about recruitment here is not that recruitment is going to fall off a cliff. I don't think it is. And I go back to, you know, even last year, yes, there, if you go by certain analytics, it looks like they went down, but in actuality, the average 247 rating, and that folks, you know, I'm a 247 guy. I work there. It went up from 21 to 22. So even though they went backwards, I think that was more on the side that they didn't, you know, go for a super huge class. Their caliber of recruits actually went up. This year, I think they're going after some guys too that are really exciting. And many of them that are coming on campus have huge, not huge offer lists, but solid offer lists. This is not going to be a recruiting class that you remember some of the Steve Adazio ones where you're like, man, does this kid have any Power 5 offers? Is this kid, where is this kid coming from? Halfley's got some kids coming that have some juice behind them. Okay. And what should you expect? When are things going to pick up? That's, I think everyone's waiting for me to talk about this. It's going to come in June. So expect a quieter May. May is going to be when you hear about the kids that came on campus for the unofficial visits. They're going to start locking in their official visits. Now, an unofficial visit, for those who don't know recruiting, that's when you pay for yourself to get to campus. You go and you check it out. You see what's going on, but you pay on your own dime. An official visit, which they just changed the rules. Now, kids can take as many official visits as they want. The school itself is only allowed, I think it's like 45 to 50 official visits throughout the calendar. So BC has to be careful with who they officially, you know, have for visits. You can't just, you don't want to take kids that you don't have, either you don't really want plan on taking, or B, you have no chance at. Like, why would you bring in a kid to check out BC if you're like, he's never going to come here anyways. But there's been a whole bunch of names that have popped up. There's been a whole bunch of recruits that have been announcing, we're heading to BC. You know, they talked to me, they're like, I'm taking my official visit to BC. Those are all coming in June. That's when kids can come on campus and you're going to see a ton of activity. And I think that is when you're going to start seeing names pop up, because there's a lot of kids that I've yet to put my own crystal balls in. And I think you guys are going to get excited when I start doing those more often. But a crystal ball at 24/7 is when I project a player to go to Boston College. Like, I just had a crystal ball in for Thomas Castellanos to land at BC, the transfer from UCF. I had a crystal ball in for Elijah Strong. When I know stuff, I make a crystal ball and I usually put it out to my VIP subscribers. But that's also I think you're going to see many more crystal balls towards BC come June. Kids like Henry Hasselback, Jaja Boyd, Lloyd Irvin. You know, there's that running back from Florida I just interviewed, and I can't even think of his name. I'm already blanking on his name. But there's a bunch of guys, and they're all starting to put their names out there. And in the final segment tonight, there's one other name that I'm going to preview with you and give you the name and what he could mean to BC. But I expect things to pick up. I don't think BC is going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel for recruits. I still believe, even with the challenges that Jeff Halfley's staff had on the field last year, I still think his message resonates with recruits. I still believe that he's able to form connections with kids. Because if you look at the roster, the kids, you know, they had, I would say, normal transfer portal losses. They didn't have a mass exodus because the kids believe in BC. After that spring practice session, the transfer portal was really quiet for guys leaving out of BC. Sean Battle left, but from what I heard, it was a mutual decision. It wasn't like he was sick of BC or anything like that. Peter Delaportis was never going to play. BC didn't lose big names because they listened to their head coach. I think that's an important thing to remember, is that even when, as fans, we're seeing this behind the scenes, these coaching staff, their messages is still resonating with the players. And I think that's going to translate onto the recruits, because the recruits, they also hear it too. Now, in our next segment, BC's student newspaper, The Heights, had an interesting article out on this weekend about BC alumni in basketball. It had some pretty damning allegations. I'm going to talk about what some of the things they brought up and my thoughts about that. We'll get all into that in just a moment. Now, I want you to make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's a $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Now, I said last night I would be taking the 76ers, even though Joel Embiid is out. The Celtics, and I saw a statistic, when there's guys out, they play down to their opponents. Right now, it looks pretty close. So if you were betting on the 76ers, you'd be a winner just like me. But don't take my advice. I'm just telling you things I look at. Now, there's no place better, because they have a safe and secure app with getting paid instantly. So you just need to head to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get a no sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Locked On BC, AJ Black here. Happy Tuesday, everyone. I hope you had a great Monday. I did not. I watched my Bruins absolutely crap the bed. And one of those moments as a sports fan that was tough to get into. That you just wanted to get the heck off of social media. You didn't want to listen to the news. It was terrible. Now, that was the bad. Some of the good moments of my life happened in the mid-2000s watching BC basketball. I was on campus with the Jared Dudleys, the Tyrese Rices, Craig Smith, Sean Marshall. And I read something today that also was a little upsetting, which was an article by the BC student newspaper, The Heights, that put out some pretty damning interviews from former BC players about their lack of relationship with the BC program. Now, they had different guys give different stories, and some of the stories were a little repetitive. But basically, the overall view was that these players, many of them were scholarship players, feel like there's no connection or no effort on behalf of the program to stay connected with these players. That many of them have reached out to BC because they want a mentor, or they want to, you know, they love BC and they want to continue to do that. And BC hasn't reciprocated any of it. And in many cases, they are not responding at all. There was I think it was John Oates that was saying it. John Oates is a former forward for BC in the mid-2000s. He was saying that he had wanted to bring his varsity basketball team that he was coaching to the ACC playoffs last year and heard nothing. You had Tyler Roach saying things about like trying to get comp tickets, or it was either Tyler Roach or Joe Trump. Trapani, saying that they tried to go to a Duke game and the school wouldn't give them tickets for free. There's another one where they were doing a banquet and the cops BC police kicked them out pretty aggressively. You know, there was lots and lots of stories. So my thoughts on this, because I saw a lot of things going back and forth on the Eagle Insider message board and on Twitter. Reading all this, it's bad, right? It's bad to hear this just in general, because BC basketball needs any positive news as it can get. When you see their former players, the former stars of this program saying like, hey, you have Sean Marshall saying I've only been on campus once and I have no interest in doing it anymore because no one cares. That's not good. Not good. But a lot of this was old stuff and old regime things, right? A lot of it, there were certain guys that really, and I forget which one said it, really targeted towards Jim Christian as being the guy that kind of like saw things dissipate. And a lot of these guys too felt like it felt a little bit like a little anger that Al Skinner was treated the way he was. And that kind of led to all this, but Jim Christian and his staff, they didn't do much in terms of keeping things connected. You know what, when I read this, I have two thoughts, right? First of all, BC, they need to do better than this. They need to be more proactive towards their players. And I thought the article brought up a good point and I had to find out more. I hope that they have somebody on their staff that is made to be alumni relations, like a guy. And it could be just part of their job title. It doesn't have to be their whole thing, but like making sure, like they said, like if they want tickets to the game, they can go. Make sure that they are doing like it. There were some of the players were like sad that they don't do anniversaries for any of the big teams, like the 2006 team that went 20-0 to start. They didn't do any of that. I understand that. Some of it came across to me, and this is just my opinion, as like sour grapes. Like it just seemed like I get it. I get their points. I get what they're saying, but like, you know, is it really the best place to do this? Like, have you talked to the staff? Have you talked to Earl Grant? Have you talked to the folks that are there now? Because yeah, it stinks that Jim Christian's staff treated you like crap, but there's other guys there that made change how things are going, and this is a perfect chance to do it. That piece I had a harder time sitting with. I think it was just one of the guys on Twitter, one of the BC basketball guys that said this, right? Like, the overall theme of this article was for some of these players, like, BC basketball's in a really bad place, has been in a really bad place, and this is why. If you really like BC basketball, like, blasting the crap out of them and giving every fan and opposing recruiter an article that can say, hey, look what they do to them. Is that helping? Is that helping your cause that you claim that you want to do? That it felt a little bit like column A, column B. And a little bit of it was like beating a dead horse. Like, a lot of it was just like the same thing over and over again. But that being said, I still don't think BC is doing a good enough job of alumni relations, like not responding to emails. They should feel special. These guys, like, you look at, like, just for instance, like, look at like a gold standard, right? Like the Red Sox. The Red Sox, every time I turn on a game, there's David Ortiz, there's Pedro Martinez, there's Trot Nixon, there's Spike Owen, Marty Barrett, like anyone who's ever played for the Red Sox, they make a big deal out of it. It's not that hard to like highlight, oh, this, you know, who's here today? It's Sean Marshall, and Sean Marshall did this, this, and this. Let's have a special Sean Marshall moment. Like, that kind of stuff, I think BC could still improve upon. And I think this was a missed opportunity, and hopefully something that Blake James will look at, because they did get responses from the staff. One thing that I thought was interesting was the whole BC doesn't give us free tickets. They have a policy for that. They do get 2 free tickets. So that, again, that goes back to the old staff. And I don't know how things have changed since then, but that's in there, you know. And they had a really great comment in there too about Anthony Goins, who's now a assistant for the basketball team, and how he's done a great job connecting with Sean Marshall and some of the other guys. So there is a movement there. And I wished, I didn't get a sense of how much Goins has changed the entire culture of where things are at, but like, if you know, that could have been where things should have started. Like, you frame it like things were bad, but here's where things are going, and like things are improving at BC. But like, it just seemed like it seemed almost like a hit piece to me at times, and some of it's rightfully so, but other points I was just like, yeah, but it is what it is, you know. BC gets a lot of things wrong sometimes, and I think this will be just another example of that. Now, in our final segment, I want to get into one of the recruits you need to know. Now, I'll explain all of that, because this is a name that's familiar to many of you, but you're going to want to know why you should know his name in just a moment. Locked On Boston College, AJ Black here. We are still doing 5 days a week. Basketball's over. Football is over. But I have so much content set up for this summer. You're not going to want to miss it, because we're going to have some special episodes with special guests. We'll have Mitch on to talk even more. Folks, if you have not become an everydayer, I want you to do that right now. Make listening to Beat Locked On BC part of your daily routine. I'm going to give you the info you need to know about your alma mater, to know about the school that you love the most, Boston College. And I'll do that every day in a nice 20 to 22 minute, 25 minute sometime podcast. So, as I mentioned earlier, there are a handful of players that have announced official visits to Boston College. If you are an Eagle Insider member, I give you, as I find them, and recruits are constantly just pinging me with them, I give them to you as soon as I know them. But today I'm going to give you a taste. I'm going to give you a little taste of one. And this is a name you want to know. His name is Obinna Onwuka. Now, I said the last name, and I bet you all go, I know that last name, Onwuka. It's Boozy's younger brother. Boozy was a defensive tackle for BC up until this year. He just got signed to a free agent deal, and I think it was with the Giants. I don't have it in front of me. I know Mitch wrote it up. But Obinna is one name that I think folks are going to really like because he's a defensive end from Charles Herbert Flowers in Maryland. He released a top seven that included BC, West Virginia, Penn State, Virginia Tech, USC, Pitt, and Memphis. But I've talked to him. He really likes BC. He hears great things about it from his brother, and he has an official visit set up. He announced today on Monday night that he's going to announce on July 1st. This is when BC, again, I said June, maybe early July. That's when a lot of names are going to stop popping. Now, why should you know about this kid? He's a high three-star. He's borderline four-star. I think the 247 composite is four-star for this kid. He's an explosive edge. He's probably one of the higher-ranked recruits BC is going after that they have a really good shot with. And I like their chances with them. Once I think they get him on campus for an official visit, I really like where BC stands with him. Now, you got teams like USC floating around. Yeah. If USC wants to pony up the money to pay him to come, BC's not going to just hold a chance. But I get the sense that, yeah, I don't believe he has an official visit set up to USC. I'd have to look that up. But if he does not have a official visit to USC, that says to me that he is more in line to look at some of the other schools. That school is not going to take him. So USC is obviously going to be looking at like five stars and big names here and there. He's interested in going to USC, but USC maybe not as interested in him. So that it's always a two-way street. Like a kid, when you read recruiting news, right, you're going to see kids say like, oh, I'm interested. You know, these are my top seven. You always got to remember that that's the kid's perspective. Sometimes kids put out a top seven and some of those schools are not going to take him. And BC does the same thing too. An easy way to tell when it's a BC school is like, and this is, I'm being honest here, right? If you see a kid put a top five out and it's like UMass, FIU, Western Michigan, and Army and Boston College, red flag right there. Because those are the kids that BC are not taking. That kid wants BC to pay attention to them, but maybe that's not the case. So I'm not sure that USC will take Onwuka yet. If they do, BC's in trouble. But if they don't, I like where BC stands on this kid. I think they have a chance. I'm not ready to put a crystal ball in for him. Absolutely not. I'm going to wait for this official visit and see how it goes. And believe me, I'll have full recap on Eagle Insider for that. But Obinna Onwuka, there's another name. So I've given you some new names to watch for. Henry Hasselbeck, Obinna Onwuka. There's others. Go back in our archives on YouTube to find out those names. Now I'm going to go to the comment section and see what you guys have to say for today's show. If you like this episode, please hit the like button right now. All right. Here we go. Peter says, if Thomas Castellanos eventually becomes starter, will he lead BC to a bowl game or make BC a top 25 team or an ACC powerhouse? Bowl game, sure. I think no matter who the quarterback is this year, I think I've talked about it with Mitch on the show. I think either he or Moorhead would be a fine quarterback to get them to the bowl. I got to see more from him to say that he's going to turn BC into a powerhouse. I don't know. I got to see what he would look like in this offense before I anoint him like someone who's going to take him to top 25. Folks, I get accused of putting on rose and maroon and gold glasses. I'm not going to do that yet with this kid. I just need to see more. Marty Party says, sounds like Adazio treated former players. Ask Adazio's former players. I think he treated them a little worse than that. Football fan, what winning has many founders, losing has none. Alumni relations should be an athletic department function, not led up to the revolving door coaches. Yep. And guess what? The athletic department has changed a lot too, though. That's a systemic issue too. BC's had like four ADs in the last like 6 years. So there's a lot of change going on in this program. And, you know, I don't know what that says about BC itself, but, you know, football fan says it's not always about money and NIL. Development playing time is more important. It depends on the recruit you're talking about, but yes, I totally agree with you. Amanda is my favorite, who says slide over Georgia. Amanda was talking about BC being better than Georgia last year on our podcast, but apparently she's very positive. And then finally, Marty Party says, agree, Onwuka could easily be buried on the Trojan depth chart. Yeah. I think one thing that came out this week, and I didn't address it, and maybe I'll do this on tomorrow's show more. Actually, you know what? I will do it on tomorrow's show. An article by The Athletic that really highlighted the development of BC. Like, they have some really, really positive things about how BC has developed players. And it's not just Halfley. It goes back to Adazio too. We'll get on to that on tomorrow's show. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on our podcast. And for everydayers out there that listen to us, thank you again. You're the lifeblood of this podcast. I'm going to head out. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Follow me on Twitter at @AJBlack_BC. Hit me up there and go over to Eagle Insider. I have an interview with another quarterback that they offered recently, and Mitch will be looking at 2024 BC players that could potentially head in the NFL draft. We'll have him on the podcast talk about that at other points as well. Thanks, everyone out there. See you all soon. Take care.